Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Welcome back to your Valley Sports Plug Live. It's Tuesday, March 10th, 2026. I'm your host, Chris Patrick. And tonight, the NFL legal tampering period is underway. The Arizona Cardinals are making some moves. Your Phoenix Suns are surging as they win five of their last six games without DUI Dylan Brooks. The World Baseball Classic is underway, and Team USA is undefeated, 3-0 at the time of recording, but currently losing to Team Italy, so that could very quickly become 3-1. But there's a whole lot to get into, way more than that. First, let us introduce the fellas. We have joining us a lovely panel. What's going on, guys?
Chris, there have been a lot of highs and lows in the past 36 hours, and you know I cannot wait to get into it. But I got to ask VSP Tolman, how are you feeling tonight, my brother?
Oh, dude, the DUI Brooks, that was cold-blooded there, Chris. But, fellas, we are doing swell over here. How we doing?
Mr. T. Jr., thank you for joining us. Mr. Hole-in-One himself.
Hole-in-One, yes. I know, I haven't talked to you guys since then. Yeah, man, crazy. Feels good. It sucks to see the Cardinals changing and all these things, and I know you guys are really excited about our new quarterbacks that we're going to get to talk about here in a little bit, but man, it sucks to see Kyler leave. It really does. But we'll talk about it. I'm excited to be a Minnesota Vikings fan.
Oh, let's go. Just kick him off now.
Kick him off now. Hey, just.
He already got a Timu Kyler Minnesota jersey already. Tolman, Mr. T. Jr., it's good to see you guys, but Mr. T. Jr., it's been a minute, man. It's good to see you. I know you're feeling a little bit under the weather, and I got something to make you feel a little bit better, and that, of course, is the fourth annual Phoenix Suns ticket giveaway coming for the Suns versus the Nuggets, Tuesday, March 24th. Two tickets in Section 109, Row 11. You get a free parking pass for the Jefferson Street Garage. You also get access to the FanDuel Six-Man Lounge. Chris touched on it last time. If you are going to be a little bit late to the game, you can go through there and still probably get the giveaway, which is going to be that Phoenix Suns mechanic shirt that you see on the screen right there. I will say we're going to do it a little bit differently this year. So the post is going live this upcoming Friday, March 13th. But guys, we're doing it on multiple platforms this time. We're going to do it both on Instagram and Twitter because we know some people don't have both. So either or, you're going to have to subscribe to us here on Valley Sports Plug YouTube. You're going to have to subscribe to either platform, and then you're going to have to do some other things. So go ahead, follow us right now so you can get up to date with everything we got going on here and obviously for the post on Friday. But Mr. T. Jr., I was just kidding. I have a real something to make you.
The shirt's kind of, really cool. That's a really cool giveaway. Like
that's I'm for the. I'm just saying that's for the people. That's not for you. If for some reason your name was spun on the wheel, you ain't getting the tickets, my brother. I'm sorry, but this is really for you. Chris touched on it. You are now Mr. Hole in One. I don't know if you watched the stream from last week, but we did give you a shout out. We pulled up your picture. And I figured there was somebody that really should give you a congrats. And let me just roll it for you.
Yeah, this one goes out to Arizona's finest, Matt Tolman. I actually grew up with a young man named Matt Tolman. Matt, just want to welcome you to the Hole in One Club and congratulate you, big dog. I think that is absolutely spectacular. 170 yard par three and Bear Creek, Arizona will never be the same. Having the Have a Day hat on is spectacular. If you don't think that I'm pouring one out to my guy Matt Tolman tonight to celebrate, you got another thing coming. The Valley Sports Plug Boys, thanks for bringing me here. Matt Tolman to the moon. We love you, Mr. T. Congrats, your boy Bob.
There he is. We had to get Bobo to say congratulations. Awesome. This was a monumental moment, not only for Mr. T Jr., but for Valley Sports Plug. Shout out to Bob Does Sports, man. If you guys don't know who they are, just type it in on YouTube. Some of the funniest content out there. But yeah, Matt, that was for you, brother.
Yo, dude. Wow. That's fucking that. That was unexpected. That beats the hell out of the Suns giveaway. I'm sorry. Wow. Dude, you got to send me that. No way.
Outstanding.
No Mike. Way. Yeah, I literally have it right here. Right here is the ball.
Did you sign it? Oh, there you go.
Like, yeah, he did.
Yeah, smart man.
Dirt on it still.
Yeah, never wash those balls.
Nothing.
I mean, wash the balls. Man. Don't wash those.
Dude, that might be one of the coolest fucking things I've seen in a hot minute, dude. I don't feel sick anymore.
He's glad he showed up tonight.
Oh, hey,
he's screwed right on up. He's all good now.
Thank you guys. That's wicked. Yeah, it's sick that I was wearing a have a day hat. And no, that's damn, dude. That was fucking cool to have the Bob say my name. That's fucking. Thank you guys. Wow, I want to like cry. Oh, I
love you. No, it's okay. It's okay if you want to cry, Matt. Right.
Let's talk about some football though. That was fucking wicked.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get into Alexis it. Thank you, Mike. That was incredible. Tallman actually, VSP Tallman actually told me that was happening over the weekend. I totally didn't expect that to pop up during the stream, though. So that was sweet. That was a nice surprise for me as well. But yeah, plenty to get into. Mike kind of said it. Make sure you're following us right here on YouTube. Hit the notification bell so you can find out when we're going live, when new content is posted. We go live every Tuesday around 7 p.m. And like us at AZ_VSP on Instagram, X, TikTok, and so much more. All of our links are in the description below. And that is where you'll be able to find all that information for that beautiful ticket giveaway. But gentlemen, Arizona Cardinals making some moves, not officially, I guess, because it's just the tampering period, but potential moves are announced. And unlike Max Crosby, none of these have fallen through yet. So want to start off with the most surprising, maybe the most explosive news, and that is the signing of one former Kansas City Chiefs backup quarterback, Gardner Minshew, on a one-year, potentially $8 million deal. I think Tallman was telling me $5.75 million of that was guaranteed. Immediately after the news broke, John Gambadoro of Arizona Sports said that he was going to be backing up Jacoby Brissett and that Brissett will be the starting quarterback once again for the Cardinals in 2026. But Josh Weinfuss kind of seems to be putting some doubt on that. Man, I guess we'll kick it over to you guys. Mike, what do you think about all this hubbub over the last 24 hours?
You know, every time that the new league year kicks off, it's kind of like Christmas morning, right? You don't know what is under the tree, what's in those presents, and you're always hopeful. And my goodness, did we get a lump of coal this year? Goodness gracious, we already knew, and we talked about how Malik Willis, I think, was a better option than what was available. We did start talking about what that truly meant in regard to the numbers, and we saw what he got from Miami with those 3 years, $67 million, $45 million guarantees for a guy who has 28 career dropbacks. Crazy. But then the Cardinals have to pivot. And the craziest thing about all of this stuff is now, you know, as the news cycles go on, their next man up was Jimmy Garoppolo, and apparently it hit a snag. We can't figure out how to get things done with Jimmy Garoppolo, part of the Deflategate team, who was teammates with Jacoby Brissett in 2016. So we have to pivot to a guy who didn't tear his ACL, but might as well have, in Gardner Minshew. And then the Cardinals double down, basically going for the throats of Arizona Cardinals fans who were wondering if there was anything they could do to salvage what has happened with the monstrosity that has been the handling of the release of Kyler Murray and the new era of Arizona Cardinals football. And this is what we're given. Now, this is the biggest, my head is in a pickle, because yes, Gambo came out, you see the tweet right here, and said, Brissett's going to be the starter next year. But then Josh Weinfuss comes out today and says, the Cardinals haven't even talked to him about being the starter next year. And then we also had, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Mike Florio of NBC's Pro Football Talk, he wrote an article today saying that it's generally expected that Brissett is going to be gone. So then he started putting speculation onto other guys, possibly Kirk Cousins. This is a disaster. This is truly, and we're going to get into the other signings. Some are better than others, obviously, but this quarterback room right now is an unmitigated disaster, guys. Like, I don't know how else to put it. That's just how I feel right now.
And it's crazy because you would think that by moving off of Kyler Murray, we would finally get some stability at the position and end all this drama and who's going to be who. And it's like Gardner Minshew didn't play very good for the Chiefs last year once Patrick Mahomes went down and even ended up getting injured himself. It was originally feared to be an ACL tear, ended up being some kind of weird bone break in his knee. But supposedly he's fully healthy, fully ready to go. But I mean, come on. I was somewhat okay with running it back with Jacoby Brissett because, you know, give him an offensive line, give him a stable offense. They were ringing off some stats today that I saw where the defense with Kyler Murray was only giving up like 17 points a game. And then the defense with Jacoby Brissett was giving up 30 plus a game. So it wasn't Jacoby losing us games necessarily, but clearly there wasn't like a sound strategy there. But now this news that we could be moving off of him, I mean, VSP Tallman, what do you make of that?
I don't buy it. I don't buy it at all. I mean, because Chris, you made some good points there too. Because if you look at the stats of Jacoby, I mean, he had a game where he had 49 completions. What does that scream to you? We were absolutely one-dimensional. We had no offensive line. We couldn't run the damn football. And then, of course, the defense fell off at the end of the season. But I mean, I could see it. I could see a more of a competitive standpoint offensively if you build up that offensive line. I mean, we're going to talk about who they brought in running back wise, who's definitely going to help that room. You could see a much different offense. I mean, obviously you're going to see a different offense. We have a whole new system coming in here with LaFleur, but I don't buy it, man. Just because I was all against the Malik Willis stuff. And I mean, I know there's several reports out there that, you know, they were talking, trying to bring Malik Willis in. And it might have been a scenario where it's like Malik Willis, obviously he took the money. I think there was something that said the Cardinals were going to go up to $18.5 million and no more. I mean, obviously you can't believe all this shit you read. But I didn't think that they were going to dish out the cash for a guy like Malik Willis, nor did I want them to do that. Because honestly, where my head's been at is they're trying to find that sort of splashy, you know, signing or move to say, hey, look, guys, we're trying to be competitive next year. But in all reality, we're tanking it because our eyes are set on the 2027 draft class and some of those prospects that are coming in. So, and I honestly have a feeling here, too, where I'm feeling maybe a new bet between me and Mike for the 2026 season, where we might be midseason looking at Malik Willis and going, damn, we dodged an absolute bullet. Because I don't see it. I mean, we talked last week about how unproven he is. Chris, you mentioned the 28 dropbacks where he's getting paid like $1 million a dropback. The dude he's only thrown 150 passes in the NFL. It's insane that he's getting that amount of money. But the Garoppolo thing, man, you got to think. Like, I mean, I would what everyone's saying is. They told Garoppolo, hey, you're not coming in here and you're not going to be the starter. You're going to be the backup. And he said, forget that. I'm going to stay where I'm at in LA. It's like, why would I leave? You know, he's got it made there. He might win a damn Super Bowl ring sitting on the bench next season. So I don't blame him at all. But the Gardner Minshew thing, that does not get the juices flowing, right? So that just goes back to Michael Bidwell. We're going to win. We're going to win now as soon as next year if we can. We haven't seen that yet. So if they're going to get off Jacoby, if the splash is going to be Kirk Cousins, I don't know if I like that either because you're going to have to throw some cash at him too. But does Gardner Minshew being signed eliminate the possibility of the Ty Simpson draft pick? I don't know. I don't know where I'm at here. But I don't think it does either, Mike. I see you shaking your head. But I'm all in on we're going to see some lousy football next season, and they're going to be looking at having a top five pick in 2027.
And I mean, like, what is the goal for this next season? Are we trying to make the playoffs and like have a quick bounce back? Like, it certainly doesn't seem like it. I mean, you mentioned all the potential talented QBs in the next draft class, but I mean, so if you finish middle of the pack, you get like a pick 13, you might still get a quarterback, but are you getting like a top tier player, one that's going to be your franchise quarterback? I think that's a gamble, because even though these college kids show a lot of promise, there's no guarantee that they're going to pan out or be anything that you hope they were going to be. I mean, for fuck's sake, Kyler Murray was a Heisman Trophy winner. And what did he do for us? Made some flashy plays, made one playoff appearance, and didn't do shit after that. I find the Jimmy Garoppolo thing an interesting twist in the story, because there was speculation that, you know, they said talks fell apart or whatever. He may have wanted a guarantee that he would be the starting quarterback if they brought him in. And it sounds like maybe Monty Austinfort and the Arizona Cardinals are trying to create some sort of quarterback competition. And I don't know if they are really in a position to be playing games like that when you just come off a season where you won, what, 3 games? I mean, Matt, I got to get your take on this. What do you think of all this news?
It's comical, dude. It's really hard to watch. I agree with Code. I don't buy the Jacoby Brissett not being here. I mean, we're basically paying him pennies on the dollar. I think we were very one-dimensional last season, to where we had no running game once James Conner went down. So you saw the third, fourth quarter, I see the stats right there, where Jacoby's throwing 60 pass attempts in a game, which is fucking real. But I think it might, I think we're going to see some pretty fucking shitty football, guys. I think next season I don't see it being much better than this season. There might be a few things here and there that are like cool to see, where we have like maybe a decent running back week 12, where James Conner isn't beat to all shit. Like, I really like the Algiers signing a lot, but yeah, the Gardner Minshew, man, it doesn't do it for me. I know you guys really don't like Kyler, but the dude did come in. He's third all time passing for us, passing yards, third all time passing for the Cardinals and touchdowns. Like, we're fucked. We're about to go through another thing where we're going to be sitting here and it's going to be like the Max Hall era, the fucking John Skelton era, the Ryan Lindley era. We're going to go back to that, to where we're sitting here. We're like, I don't think, maybe we go get like a Carson Beck or something in the draft, or somebody that, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to think of it. I'm not excited. Like, it's really hard to get excited on Sundays to be like, cool, Jacoby Brissett, the cinder block cleat guy. Like, the dude can't run to save his fucking life. He's got cement around his feet, like the mob's throwing him in a lake. Like, it's rough. It's rough, dude. It's going to be, I like the Kendrick Bourne. What's it? The San Francisco kid, the wide receiver. I thought he was pretty good. Kendrick Bourne. Great story.
You're getting ahead of yourself.
You're jumping the gun here, man.
We'll get there.
I'm just saying. It's all things are going to help the quarterback position. Cause last season it was 5-6 weeks of the Michael Wilson show towards the end, where he had 15 catches. So I think that all those things we're going to talk about, but they're going to play into like our choice of what we do at quarterback. Cause yeah, maybe we just throw it in and we ride with Jacoby. He maybe doesn't do great. And yeah, I don't know, but we dodged a bullet with Malik Willis. That's for sure, dude. That's a less talented, slightly taller Kyler Murray.
Yeah, and I think we also dodged a bullet with the Jimmy Garoppolo thing. I wasn't really sold on that. And we had talked about it last week. VSP Tallman and I were kind of on the camp that the Malik Willis hype was overblown, and maybe he was the best quarterback free agent, but it's not worth the money that you would have had to spend. Matt, I just got to say this. You don't have to defend Kyler anymore. Like, you really don't have to. I get it. Third all time in passing yards or whatever. But you know who the Brooklyn Nets all time leading scorer is? It's fucking Brooke Lopez. Is that a superstar? Is that a franchise player? I mean, no disrespect to
how
Brooke
long
Lopez,
did he play for them? How long
LeBron did he play? 11 seasons.
There we go.
How many seasons did Kyler have? 7?
Yeah, seven. Like 7. So, I mean, it's still pretty decent to have 122.
But what I'm saying is it's longevity, because, like, how many other quarterbacks have been here for a sustained period of time? The only two that are ahead of him.
Yeah. Yes. You had Neil Lomax and fucking, yeah, I agree.
Matt, I know, what is it, always hindsight 2020 in regard to, you see the situation that you're in right now. And yeah, 100%. Kyler Murray is a better quarterback, leaps and bounds above these two guys. Like, let's be honest. Jacoby Brissett is a backup. Jacoby Brissett might be the best backup in the NFL, but look at his career stats. I mean, Tallman put it in here. Both of these guys, career stats, 37 and 75 as NFL starting quarterbacks. That is losing football consistently. But we also know what happened. The the relationship soured to the point where they made the split within the first freaking 2 months of the season, and then there was no going back from there. The biggest disappointing situation about this is that Monty Austinfort had like 8 months to figure this shit out, and he came out with no plan. Zero plan. Gardner Minshew probably wasn't even truly on the list. And you could see it by his contract that he was given, because last year he got like $1.5 million from Kansas City, and they're throwing 8.5 with incentives. What are we doing? What are we talking about? Let's just look at Gardner real fast. He's going into his eighth year. Last year he played 4 games, had 1 start, under 50% completion percentage. He threw for 37 yards and a pick. Like, that means that they literally didn't even trust him to throw the football in his 1 start. And he literally, this is his fifth team in 5 years. I mean, nobody wants him anymore. Nobody was signing him yesterday, but somehow the Arizona Cardinals come out with him. It's just truly absurd. So I don't think this is the end of what's going to happen with the quarterback room. I was talking before this on stream as well. I think the Cardinals brass, they look and they listen to the fan base, because we already know Michael Bidwell did not want to fire Jonathan Gannon, but the fan base and the dollars made a big stink about it by people not re-signing up for season tickets and a max exodus happening from backing this team. So they made some kind of decision to get somebody as the scapegoat. And I don't know, maybe it was the wrong scapegoat, because this is a horrible start for Monty Austinfort. And with that being said, Chris, I'll give you the transition. Who else did the Cardinals sign, man?
Oh, there was a laundry list of various positions. We got offensive lineman Isaac. Guys, you know I have a long history of mispronouncing names, so feel free to correct me as I go through this. Isaac Samalo, running back Tyler Algier. Some familiar faces, defensive lineman Roy Lopez. We re-signed LJ Collier, Chad Ryland, Blake Gilkin. And then we just today, the announcement, offensive lineman Matt Pryor, who I believe is coming over from the Eagles. So Matt, I think we'll start with that one name that you had mentioned in Kendrick Bourne, the wide receiver from the 49ers. He started with the 49ers, went to the Patriots for a little bit, was back with the 49ers last season. And this is a move that I actually do really like. He's 30-year-old, kind of, I guess you could consider him a veteran at this point. And he's kind of what we would call in basketball, a role player out there. He's not going to be your wide receiver one. We already know he's not going to be your wide receiver two, but a solid wide receiver three, wide receiver four. He had some problems dropping passes last season as I watched more 49ers games that I would have liked, but he had a couple of really good games where he had 100+ yards, one game where he caught 10 passes on 11 attempts and had a really good connection with Mac Jones, which that's a guy I wouldn't mind seeing in a Cardinals jersey. But I mean, I guess we got to stop looking at bottom of the barrel quarterbacks. And that's why we moved on from Kyler, because as Mike said, he is super talented, but clearly not our franchise guy. Jacoby Brissett, there's a reason, you know, he was a backup, and he is a backup, a good backup, but definitely not a starter. This Kendrick Bourne move, though, I think, man, like if you talk about offensive weapons, we really have it now. Now we have 3 running backs as well. The re-signing of James Conner as well. So now you're going to have James Conner, Tyler Algier, and Trey Benson back there. And I don't want to get ahead of myself because we're talking free agency, but there is a lot of clamoring. People want us to draft the Notre Dame running back, Jeremiah Love. His stock is rising. And I guess that's kind of, okay, I'll save that question. I'll put it in my back pocket. But with the Kendrick Bourne move and some of these other ones, VSP Tallman, let's kick it to you first, man. What do you think, and what is your favorite announced signing so far?
Well, I mean, it's got to be the Siumalu guy, the offensive guard. I mean, how many times did we say last season how bad our O-line was? I mean, so it was a good move. I think he was the 21st ranked free agent on ESPN's 100 free agent list. So you got a guy that's got some good ratings from last season. Yeah, he's 32 years old. He's past 30, which we know are saying when you're past 30, right? You're a little past your prime, right? But no, he's got that good record coming in. He should fit right in and be an immediate upgrade. The Algier one, is my second favorite, just because. And then Chris, this is good for you because I think I know who your keeper is going to be in fantasy football, and you won't have Algier being the vulture to Bijan Robinson. But the dude still scored eight touchdowns last year, and I swear I cursed his name a couple different weeks because I was like, how come that wasn't Bijan? I was supposed to win this damn bet. But no, he's a hard runner. You mentioned it. I love the restructuring James Conner, keeping him rather than, you know, him being a cap casualty, where, I mean, Conner's always been one of my favorite players, and his fight, what he is to this team mixed with Algier. I mean, they have very similar kind of running skills though. So I'm curious to see how this looks, but that signing right there, that screams to me that we're going to be heavy this year, man. We're going to be running the football a lot. So I love it. You guys already talked about Kendrick Bourne. That's the type of signing Kendrick Bourne that I wanted them to do last season. Cause, oh, Greg Dortch is going to emerge. What about Zay Jones? Those guys totally flopped. Kendrick Bourne's going to be a solid number three wide out. And yeah, I'm a little surprised though on the Chad Ryland thing, cause he had a rough half of the season where he couldn't hit a field goal over 40 yards. Like, I'm shocked they didn't kick the tires on one of those older dudes in free agency. But, hey, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think obviously there's still more moves that I'm sure will come down the pike. And as well, the draft coming up next month. But, yeah, the Kendrick Bourne thing, I mean, he's not a 5'8" receiver. He's 6'1". So now the average height of our wide receivers is like 6'2", 6'3", something like that. So whoever is going to be the starting quarterback is going to have a plethora of weapons. You mentioned the running backs as well. Mike, with James Conner returning, I think that a lot of people fear. I think he's on his third contract now with the Cardinals. They were toying with the idea of cutting him because of his contract, but were able to rework it, bring him back. Of course, went out early in the season last year, missed the rest of the season. How much do you think he really has left in the tank to contribute to this team?
I think this is probably the last go for James Conner, and he restructured it because he's loved his time in Arizona. We have completely put our hands around him. He's been a great leader during his time frame here. You know, you need to start in the grand scheme of things. The Arizona Cardinals are still a pretty young franchise overall, I guess, if you want to say that. He could be top three running back of all time for this franchise and what he's meant to us during his years here. But I think the consistent injuries are just taking its toll. I think he saw the writing on the wall as well. You know, picking up somebody like Tyler Algier is going to be a perfect way to not have him get the bell cow of carries so he can stay as healthy as possible down the stretch. There is too much unknowns with Trey Benson. We tried to give him the reins last year, and what did he do? He was middling to poor, and then he hurt himself. So, I mean, Algier, yeah. When Bijan came in, you're always going to be kind of the second fiddle type of guy. Only 514 yards, 8 touchdowns last year on 143 carries. But you think about his rookie year, suppressed 1,000 yards. So a lot of people have been saying this is James Conner light, which I can see to a certain extent. But if they're going to run the football a certain type of way, it never hurts to have the same type of guys. So, yeah. Unfortunately, we're starting to see that old era head into the sunset. You can start talking about guys like Buda Baker. Man, I don't even know. We just saw Jalen Thompson leave as well. But, you know, that old guard is truly coming to an end, gentlemen.
Yep. Father Time is undefeated. And Thomas said it. Once you hit 30, you're past your prime. Now, Kendrick Bourne is also past his 30. But I think there's a few less miles on the tires there than James Conner has. And I think, I mean, for my money, it's got to be like somewhat of an insurance policy, right? Because there's still probably got to be some belief in Trey Benson, although he was injured last year. But Algier is a good kind of safety blanket to cover for James Conner. Matt, I don't want to leave you out here. I know you briefly mentioned the Kendrick Bourne move. Is that your favorite signing so far that's been announced?
Honestly, it might be. Like, I don't dislike Greg Dortch, but Greg Dortch is a special teams guy. Greg Dortch is a guy you put the ball in his hands. He's not a wide receiver three, and you have to tailor your offense so much around his height and everything to where it's a lot of dump off passes. I really like the Kendrick Bourne. I think that's like Cody said, it's something we should have done last year to where we really had that solid number three wide receiver, and we're not looking at, you know, Zay Jones and yeah, who's Cody exactly. But yeah, I think that would probably be my number one. And then, yeah, number two would be Tyler Allgeier. I think that he was great his rookie season, and he just fell victim to one of those things where it's like, if you have the opportunity to draft Bijan Robinson, you're fucking drafting Bijan Robinson. It wasn't like one of those like start needs at running back for Atlanta. I think he ran for over 1,000 yards his rookie season. So I think he just fell victim to somebody who's a generational talent. And I'm really excited about that because I think it's going to take off, you know, a little bit of that workload off James Conner to where he can kind of maybe stay a little bit more healthy and he's not trying to do smash mouth football with 20 carries, you know, a game. He can maybe do 12 to 13. Allgeier also can catch out of the backfield. He's pretty decent with that. So yeah, I think it kind of, it gives us a little bit more options for the quarterback to kind of escape from being completely responsible for the game. They kind of have, you know, the talent. I think the big thing is we didn't have a running game, dude. We literally went with Michael Carter. Like, what the fuck was that? Yeah, so I think it's going to be a big difference as far as that, but I still think it's going to be a maybe five win season tops is what I'm going.
Well, that's an improvement. That would be an improvement. I don't disagree with anything you said there. It'll be interesting to see how all these pieces are used and having those three running backs. Does Trey Benson get bumped down to the third spot in the depth chart? Is it Allgeier? I'd imagine so. He didn't, although he was injured, I don't think he necessarily jumped off the page. But the question I was going to ask you guys earlier, and I'll toss this out there to whoever wants to field it, the O-line signings of Isaac Simalu and Matt Pryor, does that for you guys cast any doubt on the potential to now draft an offensive lineman? Because there are two pretty highly touted players of the offensive line in this upcoming draft. And then part two, two-parter here. Now you do have kind of three running backs there. But when Matt talks about generational talents like Bijan Robinson, there's a lot of belief that this kid, Jeremiah Love, could be a generational talent. Do you reach and take a guy like that? Just, you know, that old adage of you got to go for the best available. I know that's a big question, but Tallman, I guess we'll pass it to you first, man.
Yeah, so I'm all about take the best available player when you have a pick like this. And I think that's what the Cardinals should do, within reason, though, because there's people all over national media saying that Jeremiah Love is the best player in this draft. But it's just you don't go out, you don't sign Tyler Allgeier to a $13 million contract, keep James Conner, and hey, you still got an investment in Trey Benson as well. I mean, we're set at running back. I don't see any universe where this team would pick him number third overall. Where, I mean, it could be good though, because that could set up the Cardinals to be able to trade back from number three to a team that wants to get up there and pick this kid. I mean, I'm not doubting what he did. I mean, Notre Dame last, he had a great season. He's got some serious playmaking speed, but I just don't, you don't do the Tyler Allgeier thing if you've been set, or Tyler Allgeier, if you've been set on Love at number three for the past couple of weeks, because these guys have been talking about this draft pick for months, I'm sure. You know, it's like they have an idea of what they're going to do, their game plan. Obviously, they have their player board. They're ranking these guys. But you mentioned the offensive line. Those guys, who are the two guys that are being projected high up there? Is it the Fano guy and the Mungai? Or I don't know his name. You guys know what I'm talking about. I don't think that would be a reach right there. If you go number three overall and you take one of those guys, That's literally the definition of drafting for need and avoiding the fact that you got some serious, serious talent coming off the edge, where this could turn into another Will Anderson Jr. thing, man, where I want them to stay put and draft one of those guys, the kid from Texas Tech, the David Bailey kid, or did I say that right? Anyway,
I think so. David Bailey.
Yeah, he did. That's David Bailey.
Yeah, David. Okay, yeah. And then the Arvel Reese. That one too. So you're in position to get one of those two guys. If you're going to take one of these offensive linemen, I mean, you could still get some depth here. I mean, again, we have that second round pick that's high up there. I don't see why we need talent, right? We need playmakers. And I don't see why you don't pick the best available player. Because, yeah, you could say, oh, well, they, you know, invested and Josh Sweat, but he needs a Batman and Robin situation here. He needs someone to play with him, you know, and that would be a perfect position there. So I think it's a reach for offensive lineman at three. And this team doesn't need that love, kid. We don't need to be drafting a running back third overall. It's just, it doesn't make sense given what the moves the team's already made already.
Tallman, you think we should trade up one spot and get T-Rex arms, Arvell Reese?
Oh, no, he has T-Rex arms?
Yeah, he got.
Yeah, he had like the second shortest.
Yeah, he got burned.
Like in combine history.
Yeah, they were very, yeah. It's like your arms are longer, Chris.
Chris, you got to scroll down a little bit. Tell me if there's anybody with a middle pick that also has a back end pick as well. Can you guys see anything on this list? Like the Cowboys? Okay, Cowboys have 20, yeah. 12 and 20.
Do Chargers have more than one? No.
The Browns have 6 and 24.
The Browns have
there you a go.
Few. Okay,
so the Browns. Jordan Tyson. Ooh.
Chiefs, where are the Chiefs picking? So the Chiefs are picking 29. Scroll up again. Are they up there at all?
Yep.
Nine. No, okay. Here's my thought. I'm aligned with Tallman. Scroll up a little bit more for me, Chris, here. Francis Maioga at three or Spencer Fanu. I think Spencer Fanu is continuously falling down boards right now. Still probably top 10. But using the capital at three for an offensive tackle, especially after you just got the guy from Pittsburgh who has been a Pro Bowler multiple times. Yes, he's 32, about to turn 33, if not already. You know, Matt Pryor has had middling success. He hasn't really been a consistent starter in the NFL, I would say. I know he was drafted in 2018. But he started 15 games for Chicago in 2024, but he's only started 40 of his 109 games in the NFL. So I still think you need to address the offensive line with how porous it was last year. And if you truly are going to run it back with Jacoby Brissett, you got to build that line so you can get a competent run game to go along with the protection of dropping back Jacoby 30 plus times a game if it comes down to that. So what I think is going to happen, and this is kind of touching on what Tallman said earlier, if he wasn't sure about it. Let's say the Cardinals make a trade with the Kansas City Chiefs to move down to nine. Then they pick one of those tackles there, one of those offensive linemen. And then scroll back down for me here to 28. Is that where they're at? To 29. That's where they take Ty Simpson. I don't think the Cardinals are going to walk away without one of the higher rated quarterbacks in a really shitty quarterback draft. But if this is the route that they are going to go, I think you have to have somebody that's young to possibly have an opportunity down the stretch when both of these guys put you at 1-9 sitting in December. And then you have to figure out how to make sure that it's not 85-90% Seahawks fans in the building when they play them on Sunday, you know? It could be a possibility.
But the question there in your scenario, Mike, is I don't think Ty Simpson's going to be there at 29. It happens every year.
They have us taking him.
That's why I said look at the multiples. Chris, go back. Okay.
Somebody trade with
Cleveland.
Reaches.
Trade with Cleveland at 24. Okay. Then you take him there. Trade with who's up? Trade with the Cowboys. Go back to 12 and then take Ty Simpson at 20. I'm just saying, Monty Austinfort hasn't made any swing moves. You could say the biggest signing that he's made was the Josh Sweat move, but Josh Sweat came here because of Jonathan Gannon. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but as soon as Jonathan Gannon was fired, Josh Sweat asked for a trade, or that's what the reports are. So Monty Austinfort has to do something because the way that he is maneuvering right now is obviously somebody who is truly inexperienced, seems like he doesn't know what he's doing, and he seems like he doesn't have a plan. So you got to get things in order before next month if you're going to roll with these two guys in this quarterback room at this point.
That is a very interesting prediction. And we do know that Monty Austinfort loves to trade his draft picks, and he's nervous to draft high unless it's Marvin Harrison Jr. It's crazy. You guys weren't kidding. I actually found it was Arvell Reese with the short arms, right? I found a picture of his short arms online. That's just absolutely crazy.
That's not real.
come on.
That's not real. That looks like a pit bull. He looks like a little Bulldog, dude.
This is Desmond Bane. This is Desmond Bane in Memphis. Historically, also another man with T-Rex arms. I'm being disrespectful. I'll stop it. But yeah, I know. Obviously, this is the big breaking news. This is the big sexy news story of the offseason, is this legal tampering period in the last 2 days. And I think tomorrow is going to get interesting as well when the official league season kicks off. The Arizona Cardinals officially announced that Kyler Murray has been cut. I think it's around, 2 p.m., maybe a little earlier in the day. I also found it interesting. I saw an article today that said, you know, like the Dolphins came out and made their official announcement that they're cutting Tua, and that's why he was able to go talk to other teams and announce he was going to sign with the Falcons. So because the Cardinals haven't made an official announcement on Kyler, he is not allowed to talk to other teams, and these stories haven't broken. Now, I'm sure, as you know, as these things go, I'm sure conversations are being had. I'm sure arrangements are being made, but nothing can be officially reported. Nothing can be out there in the open. But I believe Mr. T Jr. let us know that he will be meeting with the Minnesota Vikings tomorrow. It's been reported. And I think we could get a signing announcement on that very quickly. I know there was a lot of speculation that Kyler might go play for the Pittsburgh Steelers and that they might be in play. But I saw another report today suggesting that they fully expect Aaron Rodgers to return and be the starting quarterback, which I think makes sense with his ties to Mike McCarthy and kind of bringing him in, maybe one last hurrah. But we don't care about the Steelers here, right, boys? One last NFL topic I want to very, very briefly, very quickly touch on, because I know we're getting deep in the pod here, is the Max Crosby trade announcement to the Baltimore Ravens that was announced over the weekend. Another defensive lineman, defensive rusher, going into a very strong defensive AFC North that already has TJ Watt and Myles Garrett. Now, the breaking news that happened just a couple hours ago before we went live is that trade fell through, and it was partially because Max Crosby did not, I guess, technically kind of pulled a Mark Williams and didn't pass his physical, or the Ravens didn't like what they saw on his physical. Now, Crosby had been rehabbing from an injury that kept him out the last part of last season, but there was speculation that he wanted to play through the injury and it wasn't that severe, and that obviously the Raiders were tanking to try and get Fernando Mendoza. They moved off of Geno Smith officially. He's going to be on the Jets now. But man, this is very interesting. I remember talking about this around the time we got Mark Williams and the news that his trade had fallen through to the Lakers at the trade deadline last year in the NBA. And I don't know how players fail physicals. Like, I guess I don't fully understand what goes into a physical, but I always thought it was kind of like the turn your head and cough, touch your toes, do some arm circles. So the Max Crosby's camp is coming out and fully kind of refuting this, saying now he's fully healthy, he's on track for his recovery, he's actually ahead of schedule. Now, obviously, they have to come out and say that, but I don't know, man. What do you guys make of this story? Mr. T, let's pass it to you first, man. Have you ever seen anything like this?
Come to the Cardinals. Come here, please. I honestly, dude, I feel like it has happened before. Like, definitely the NBA, I've heard of it happening to where, yeah, like the commissioner, there'll be like things to like physicals and stuff. But Chris, when you're paying somebody $20 million a year, you're going to do a little bit more than just stick your hand under their area to make them cough. Just saying. So I know there's a lot of really happy quarterbacks. I know, what was it? Jamar Chase was on streaming Call of Duty, talking shit, like pissed off that he was like, how did they let him come to the division? Like, how? So I know that there's some really happy quarterbacks and happy people with that, but yeah, I feel like there's always been something with this guy. Like, at the end of the season, he was posting stuff that he really wasn't hurt and that he was fine to play, and was, you know, saying basically that the Raiders were tanking and telling him to stay home. And then you have this to where you're like, all right, was it an actual injury? Is there something that's actually there? I'm interested to see if he stays with the Raiders. I don't foresee that being a thing. I definitely see him being gone, but yeah, just it depends on who takes the gamble of his knee. It's a lot like our boy Johnson. You know, everybody in the draft was like, oh, his knee's bad, blah blah blah, great. So yeah, I think these guys are million-dollar athletes. They take care of their bodies, they know what they're doing. I wouldn't put too much credence into it. He won't be a Raider though for very long.
Yeah, I think he nailed it, because he was very critical of Las Vegas's ownership, and that he's not trying to win. Because you, when you said that, that jogged my memory. Is like, you're right. He was posting shit. Like, I'm totally fine. I could play, but I don't know. He kind of has that. It's gonna sound so stupid. That kind of like bad boy type thing where he seems like such an asshole. Which I love it though. I mean, that's the type of player you want to play. That's football, man. You got to be that hard-nosed type dude. But I don't blame the Ravens, man. I mean, what was it? He had torn meniscus surgery in January, where that was only like 2 months ago. What did they expect him to just grow a new leg? I don't know. But two first-round picks, man, you got to do your due diligence. So, but yeah, I mean, for something to be announced like that, I was shocked. I was like, oh shit. I mean, that's a price tag, man. That's a very big price tag. But he's a hell of a player. I mean, he had at least 10 sacks in the last four of his seven seasons in the NFL. So there's no doubt that he can ball out, but that's some crazy shit.
I think this is worst case scenario for the Raiders. Obviously, it's going to take a lot of capital still for any team to take on Max Crosby, because he is truly the definition of a difference maker. But man, if these are the red flags that already arise right now, I don't think the Raiders can be asking for two first round picks again. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but unfortunately, that's how the cookie crumbles.
Yeah, I would totally agree. I thought that price tag was pretty high, but if you consider his skill and the fact that he is only 28 years old, I guess you could say in the prime of his career, two first round picks. I mean, I don't know. I find it hard to believe that another team would be willing to bite off that much, but I guess we'll see. And I'm sorry, Matt, I don't think that we'll be seeing Max Crosby suit up in the red.
No, we won't. But that'd be the answer to Josh Sweat's little Batman and Robin.
No, we need our picks, man.
Monty Ossoffort doesn't know how to swing, Matt. There would be no chance that we would
hear me out. Hear me out. Because I said it in the private chat. What if we build around in the draft? We don't take Ty Simpson. We ride with what we have, and we get Arch Manning next year.
I love it, but who knows? This team will accidentally win six games, and then we have the 10th pick.
True. Very true. What if we trade up?
And okay. I'm still super in the camp that if you did end up with the number one overall pick and or you trade for it, the Mannings have the pool, guys. I mean, you think back to when Eli was drafted by the Chargers. He would not report. So that's why the Giants made the trade, because he was not going to go to San Diego at the time. I feel like the same thing would happen. I'm pretty sure Marv Sr. already hates us and wants his son out of here as soon as possible. So you can't even rely on that to talk to the Manning and be like, hey, look at the connection we could make going back to the good old days. We don't even have that on our side. There's just so much more good grace that has to be built from this franchise before you start thinking about going after those big fishes like that. And hell, Chris talked about it too. You never know what you're going to get with these guys. And sometimes Arch didn't look that great at Texas, but I know he's going to be one of those guys. Maybe Sam Levitt, guys. Why not? I mean, we missed out on Cam Scatterboo. Let's bring in Sam, baby.
Yeah, I'm sure that would be a situation where Michael Bidwill listens to the fans and we get Sam Levitt because he was here. Although I don't know how much his favor is going to hold up after he plays a full season at LSU. But that's the other thing about these college guys, is they still have a full college season to play and anything could happen. Their stock could fall, it could rise. But I would still expect there to be no less than five solid options at quarterback. But again, everyone's going to be all the people are going to be moving and shaking, trying to get one of those top picks, whether that's through trades or, I hate to say it, tanking. But I mean, it's tough. I mean, you're right with the whole Marvin Harrison Jr. thing. Mike, you sent me a clip not that long ago of Larry Fitzgerald's dad talking about how dog shit this organization is, for lack of a better word, how he wanted Larry to move off of here, wasn't happy with the way he was treated. And I imagine that there's possibly been some conversations between him and Marvin Harrison Sr. as well. And I don't know if you guys remember, on draft night, they were interviewing Marvin Harrison Sr. and asking him, oh, are you happy for your son? And he was like, yeah, I'm glad he got drafted. He was like very like nonchalant about it. And that could just be who he is. It could just be who he is. But I think there was probably some disappointment that he ended up on the Cardinals. Although at that point, it was more or less a foregone conclusion. But it's going to be interesting to see how things shape up for the Cardinals and across the NFL. we're definitely going to keep tapped in on that. But gentlemen, we must move on. We got a few more topics before we bounce out of here for the night. And I would be remiss if I didn't speak on the Phoenix Suns. I was more negative when I asked Mike to include this topic for tonight's stream, but there have been some stories, and so and honestly some positive stories. They had a win tonight. They beat the Milwaukee Bucks in Milwaukee. Now, the Bucks are by no means world beaters at this point. Honestly, they're kind of tanking despite Giannis playing, which is a bit surprising. They had the 129-114 win, and it was honestly Jalen Green's best game as a Phoenix Sun. He had 25 points on 10 of 20 shooting, which although 50% doesn't seem like it's great when you consider his average had been like 32% up until that point, we'll take it. So like I said in the intro, I think it's now 5 of their last 6 games that they've won. Boy, oh boy, got to be an exciting time. And we're mostly healthy, despite not having Dylan Brooks or Mark Williams at this time. Mike, you've gotten to sit pretty close and witness a lot of these games. What are you making of the current run the Suns are on without two of their core pieces, honestly?
It's truly incredible, the ebbs and flows of an NBA season, because you just think back maybe about 2 weeks ago, two of the worst outings against the Portland Trailblazers and the Boston Celtics. Then they also lose just an absolute unacceptable game to the Chicago Bulls on their home floor. Shout out my brother-in-law. He was there. That's probably why they won, because another Bulls fan was in the building. But the Suns are rolling once again, gentlemen. Chris, you touched on it. Jalen Green tonight scored the first 7. I think he had the first 11 of 13. He's turned things around, which has been awesome to see. I think in the past 4 games or so, he's right around 25 points per game, 4.5 rebounds, shooting about 45%, and 37% from 3, because we know when he really got back into the rhythm of playing consistently, I don't think his legs were still there, and you could just tell from his shot it wasn't there, but the athleticism has shown over the past 3 games, I would say. And it's been impressive, man. Book had another strong outing tonight, 27. Colin Gillespie is consistently on triple-double watch. It's been awesome. We know that the stretch is going to get a little bit harder coming up here within the next couple of days. I won't say it's going to start on March 12th against Indiana, because boy, oh boy, Chris, we're going to have to do a segment probably just on the Indiana Pacers on the Pass the Outlet this coming month, because I have some things to say about that franchise, and it's not good. But the biggest surprise, you guys already know it, is the rookie tandem, Rashear Fleming and Kaman Malawach. Rashear had just, you could say, a little mini coming out party against Charlotte with his career high 16 points, 4 of 6 from deep in only 20 minutes. He has that 7'6" wingspan, which makes him a great asset on the defensive side. You see him going up against bigger guys like Giannis tonight, Luka, just some of the best scorers because he's able to contest better. Super long strides. He's athletic. He has really good body control for somebody who's 6'8", 6'9". And then Kaman Malawach. Yes, the number 10 overall pick. It is a slow beginning to his career, but we already talked about how that was the plan for this Suns brass, man. They wanted to bring him on alongside Mark Williams, and then he started to take advantage of that opportunity since Mark has gone down, and it looks like he's going to be out for a couple more weeks as well. But he's vocal on defense. He's sending commands to his guys, getting him in the right areas. He's always just seems to be a defensive anchor around the rim, like we envisioned, but he still has some work to do. But it's been awesome to see these young guys flourish, and they are contributing to what the Phoenix Suns are doing right now, man. It's beautiful to watch.
Yeah, I'm really honestly like blown away with how well the front office has done, how good the coach Jordan Ott has been. As you might remember, we were highly critical of those moves in the offseason, not necessarily the drafts or the signings, but boy, have these guys all worked out very well. I honestly can't say I'm disappointed in any of the picks made this last season. Kaman Malawach, you got to remember, guys, he's 19 years old. He won't turn 20 until September. And we've talked about it before. This guy's been playing basketball for only like 5 years or something like that. I really got to look up the story because he hasn't been playing for a long time. Obviously, a freak of nature at 7'1", 250 pounds, but a raw talent. And I think they did it the right way, bringing him on slowly, letting him build up some of his confidence in G League games and just working with these guys. Now with Mark Williams going down, he has an opportunity to get some playing time. And we knew that this was going to happen. And honestly, I thought it was going to happen sooner, but the way Oso Igodoro has been able to be serviceable has really made an impact and changed the script. Now, Mark Williams is to be reevaluated, I think, 1 or 2 weeks from now, probably closer to the 2 week side. It was announced on March 5th that it would be 2 to 3 weeks. He's dealing with a left foot injury. But with the way that everyone's playing right now, I don't know if they're necessarily going to be in a rush to bring him back. Because also, like, Mark Williams, I mean, he came out the gate hot, but he kind of started to slow down a little bit. And I think a lot of people, myself included, have speculated that that might be because he's just not used to playing an 82 game schedule. And not necessarily a knock on him, because I know injuries aren't necessarily within a player's control. Rarely are they, actually, but he's never really had to play a full season because he's been injured. So once he was more or less healthy, he was playing a lot of games, the fatigue might have caught to catch up to him. Now, that might not be fair, but he's injured now, so hopefully he's rested up, he's going to come back fully healthy, and he can contribute to this home stretch and a playoff run, quite frankly, because we are going to be in the playoffs. Now, it looks like increasingly more likely that we're going to be a play-in team. We're kind of nipping on the heels of the Lakers and the Nuggets. We'll see if we can close that gap, but not like a ton of time left. What, Mike? We're quick math here. 38 plus 72, is that 65? So we got about less than 20 games left in the season. We're in the home stretch now. And I don't know, man. I do really like this team. Hopefully we can get Dylan Brooks back for the run, but we don't got to talk about the news, but I do think it's funny. I mean, DUIs aren't funny. You shouldn't drink and drive or smoke and drive. Dylan Brooks wasn't drinking. It was weed related. And the officer said his car smelled like a dispensary or something.
It wasn't alcohol related.
Nope. It was a weed DUI.
He blew a 0.0. Yep.
Free my boy.
I think they took him to the station after he had blown the 0.0 and he was there for maybe like an hour and they released him. They didn't press any charges. Yeah, weird look. Obviously, you don't love to see it. I know when that news first broke, a lot of people were like, the age-old sayings that you hear, the guy with millions of dollars doesn't get an Uber, or where's the – I know I was the one who said, where's the son's car service that doesn't have a hotline where you could call – no questions asked, they'll send somebody to come get your ass and get you where you need to go. But it just ended up being weed related, kind of weird. But yeah, Chris, he's going to be a big contributor that the Suns need to have down the stretch. And you know, he was the one keeping us afloat beginning of the year when Jalen Green was down and then when Book would miss some time. So we'll be excited to have him back soon as well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And I think, you know, if these guys are going to miss some games here and there, now's the time to do it. Now, I'm not saying we should take our foot off the gas or try and avoid the play-in tournament, but like being in the playoffs, as long as everyone's healthy, when that kicks off, I like our chances. I really do. Especially when you consider right now, if the playoffs started today, you're looking at a potential play-in matchup, I think against the Trailblazers, and then you'll probably play either the Clippers or the Warriors. I don't want to say nervous about the Clippers because they are looking really good. Kawhi Leonard has had a really good season so far. Darius Garland is starting to blend in nicely with them as he's gotten healthy. So Clippers could be a team to watch, but we're still 6 games ahead of them, guys. Like, we're firmly in the 7th spot right now. Like I said, nipping on the heels of the Nuggets and the Lakers. And honestly, even the Timberwolves and Rockets that only have 2 more wins than us. We know there's a lot of talent on both of those teams with Anthony Edwards and Kevin Durant, but man, Suns are up. Suns are up, and you love to see it. You really do. There is one more kind of breaking story that we have to talk about. We were kind of starting to chat about it a little bit to start the stream, and it's a more broad NBA story, and that is there is a new number 2 on the all-time points scored in a single game, and that honor, if you didn't see the news and I gave you 50 guesses, I don't think you would have gotten it. VSP Tallman, why don't you tell us who scored 83 points tonight to pass Kobe by 1 point?
Well, I don't have all the stats. I know Mike's probably already pulling that up. He's going to read the stat line. But Bam Adebayo, a guy who is on the VSP no bet list, which is, I don't know if that has more to say about us and our our assessment of who goes on that list and who doesn't. But man, what a night for Bam Adebayo. That was incredible. Mike, do you have the stat line?
Oh yeah, you gotta give me the ball here. Just utterly absurd if you look at this game. 150 to 129, Bam Adebayo becomes the second most high scored in a game in NBA history. Wow. They were definitely feeding up the ball down the stretch. You look at their starting lineup, Myron Gardner, Davion Mitchell, Pelle Larsen, and Kasparis Jakunis. Nobody shot more than 9 times. Bam Adebayo shot 20 of 43, 7 of 22 from 3, and then this is the big kicker, 36 of 43 from the free throw line. So that must have been like he literally was just getting position, and I haven't looked at the game. I haven't seen the highlights yet because I was watching the Suns game. So I'm going to do a little bit of a breakdown and see what was going on. But he was probably just camping inside. And the Washington Wizards are a young team that still are in rebuilding phase, and they don't know how to defend properly against somebody who plays that big. 83 points. Anytime it happens, even if they're force feeding the ball, is just utterly absurd. I would say this is a congrats to Bam, but I'm in the camp with Tallman. Did not have this one on my bingo card. Would never have circled Bam Adebayo as the guy to break Kobe's record. It's crazy.
I got to say, okay, so I said 82. It was 81 points. I got to just say, and I'm going to be the guy. This is disrespectful to Kobe Bryant, quite frankly, to do this shit in StatPad the way he did. Bro, 43 free throw attempts. He took 22 three-pointers and only made 7 of them. Guys, again, for contrast, Kobe Bryant scored 28 on 46 field goals, 7 of 13 three-pointers, and only shot 20 free throws to get his 81. And Bam Adebayo got more than half. No, okay, only 36 points. But 36 points at the free throw line in a 150-point game? Honestly, disrespectful, man. I hate it, but I guess when you look at the all-time list now, it's Wilt Chamberlain, Bam Adebayo, and then Kobe Bryant. And wow, I guess, you know, props to Bam. That's a cool achievement, I guess. But in a meaningless game against a dog shit team in March, I don't know.
Reminds me of Jacoby Brissett stat lines.
who has him in our fantasy league? Like, he had to have scored 130 fantasy points tonight.
Tell me, by the way, we haven't had him.
But the crazy thing is, I don't think he had a double-double tonight. He didn't even get 10 rebounds, if I'm not mistaken.
He only got nine fucking rebounds.
But hey, Chris, the most important thing, he had the best plus minus on the team. So he was making a difference. I could see both sides of the coin here. I totally understand. But anytime you see that high number, it's just ridiculous.
He had 101 fantasy points.
Ooh.
And he's on Valley Sports Plug contributor Nico's team.
Yeah, there you go.
Man. Bet he loved that. Bet he loved that. Man. Wait, did he even play him? Please tell me he was on the bench. No, he did play. Okay. That would have been hilarious. But man, okay. So props to Bam. Whatever. Moving on. Like I said, really briefly wanted to touch on it. But gentlemen, before we do get out of here, this has been a great stream. I did want to speak on one topic that we've actually talked about a couple times in the past few weeks, and that's the World Baseball Classic that just kicked off officially last week and now going into their second week, about to get out of pool play after the 3 games tomorrow. And like we said at the beginning, Team USA 3-0, still 3-0 as of the time that we're streaming this, but looking a little scary, getting a little nervous here. The score against Italy is currently 8-4. Team USA is trying to fight back. It was 8-0, I think, at one point, or 8-1. And then Pete Crow Armstrong had a 3-run homer in the bottom of the 7th to get us back in this one. Now, currently, Italy has the bases loaded with 2 outs in the top of the 8th. So Team USA still has 6 outs to work with to try and get back in this one. But man, I haven't done enough diving into the format of these kind of tournaments, so I'll throw it out there if anyone knows, hopefully VSP Tallman. If they lose this game, are they still going to make it to the bracket phase to continue on?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
It's pool play. Yeah.
So the top two in each pool advance.
Oh, okay. That's good. So I think Japan already secured their spot by winning, because they were in the same group as us, which is crazy, because I think for a lot of people's money, Japan and Team USA were the two best. Oh, I lied. USA is in Pool B and Japan's in Pool C. So Japan is 4-0. They won their game, I think, today. And they'll advance for certain. And now Team USA here competing with Italy. Italy will play again tomorrow. So I think they have a chance to have the same record as they play. Oh, they play Team Mexico tomorrow. So either way, one of those teams will be 3-1 potentially. I guess Italy still got to finish this one out if they're going to beat Team USA. But man, I like this tournament. That game yesterday against Team Mexico was really exciting. There was a couple really sweet defensive plays. I think it was Bobby Witt Jr. diving, laying out, miraculously snagging a line drive down the middle and chucking it to first. Man, it's like, this is like, these are like all-star games in a way when you consider Team USA, and you would think that they would just run the gambit, but baseball is a global sport now, and we see a whole lot of talent coming from all over the place, from the Dominican Republic to Japan and Korea. So many different places we're getting talent from now. But I don't know. Have you guys been watching? What have you liked about the World Baseball Classic so far?
Oh shit! Okay,
everybody at once though.
Yeah, right.
This is all you. This is all you, brother.
It looked like Mike was like, "Hell yeah, I've been watching it." To be honest, I did watch last night, and I can totally agree with what you said, Chris, with your assessment of the game. I mean, Mexico, the fans, they outnumbered Team USA, our USA fans in Houston, which is great. I mean, I got no problem with that, right? But if you looked on Twitter and whatnot, people that attended it, they're like, I've been to World Series games and this type of atmosphere I've never experienced before. So it is special in its own right. Don't go back and watch the baseball stream Chris and I did, because I did say that I didn't care for this tournament and I thought it was stupid. Just kidding. I said I thought they should pick a time where it's not in spring training and whatnot. But no, it's great. I mean, you mentioned, Chris, the one play, then Aaron Judge just smashing a home run opposite field. He turns the dugout, tosses the bat, and just starts screaming. It was cool. It was cool. Those guys are fired up. But I will be the first to admit I haven't been watching. I don't fully understand the whole tournament. I know we went over the pool play, but it's been exciting. And I know it's crazy that Alec Thomas makes the title of a stream. Who would have thought that when you have Perdomo and Ketel Marte playing for the Dominican Republic? But they haven't been making much splashes like Alec has.
Yeah, you love to see Alec Thomas, because I forget which one of their games it was. One of the earlier ones, his dad was on the bench for the other team. He was a coach, and Alec Thomas hit a homer against his dad's team that he was coaching. So it's like cool little stories like that that I really like. And I agree, it's very patriotic, and teams are loving to support, these players are loving to support their countries and play on these national teams. And I think it's a great preview for what I hope we'll see when the Olympics happen in 2 years. I don't actually know the logistics of that, because if I'm not mistaken, it's the Summer Olympics. So is the MLB going to pause their season similar to what the NHL just did for the Winter Olympics? Or are we looking at college players on Team USA? I honestly have a feeling the way that the money is in the MLB that it's likely going to be college players. I know there was actually a handful of players that, basically, I heard this whole thing where the MLB partners with an insurance company to guarantee the players' contracts should one of them get injured during the World Baseball Classic. And there were certain players like Mike Trout, Jose Altuve, where they were just too old, too injury prone. And this company said, we will not insure them. They cannot go. And the MLB was like, all right, you're not insured. You're not going. You're not playing, buddy. And it makes sense, you know, when you consider, like I said, the money involved. But those are the stories that you don't really hear too much. But the last thing I did want to talk about on the World Baseball Classic is the whole Tarek Skubal thing, and it has a lot of people upset. I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but he pitched in one game. I think it was the game on Saturday against Great Britain, gave up a homer, like leadoff homer in the first, but then settled in ended up striking out five in his three innings of work. But that's all we're going to get from him. Three fucking innings against Great Britain, a garbage World Baseball Classic team. And now he's going back to Detroit. Now I get it. Tarek Skubal's heading into the final year of his contract, set for a big free agent payday about a year from now. Going to sign probably a record-breaking contract should he stay healthy and perform. But a lot of people are like, why did you even take a spot on this team if you were just going to pitch three innings in a meaningless game against a pretty bad team? Not even like, looks like we could have used him tonight against Italy, but it's kind of similar in a sense to the Corbin Burns thing where it's like the days don't line up and he needs to get a few more starts with his team in Detroit spring training. I'm like kind of on the fence. I'm like, I get it. I get you want to help your team. You want to be there with the guys. You want to share your knowledge and build that camaraderie or whatever, get the experience. But could there been another player that we would have that could make more than one start for Team USA that could have contributed that Tarek Skubal took the spot of? I don't know, but Mike, I'll ask you this. Do you think that it was a disservice to Team USA for Tarek Skubal to come in and only pitch those three innings?
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. What's the point? If you're not going to be making a difference, especially down the stretch in this tournament, you know, US was so close last time around. They were trying to build a juggernaut, and Tarek Skubal is definitely or would be a perfect piece for that. So if you're not ready to commit fully, why even show up? I think, you know, you're doing it to, you know, shake the hands, kiss the babies, and that's not what we want from the best of the best, right? So if you were going to commit, that's really the only way that I see it. And obviously I don't know the true inner workings, and I think it's perfect that you kind of pinpoint he probably is in a specific system, just like Corbin Burns was, the reason why he wasn't able to be named as the opening day starter. And you got to do what's best for you, Tarek. I totally understand. But if you're not going to be pitching in pool play when it matters, why'd you show up? That's the only way I feel about it.
I disagree with you guys. These are exhibition games. They don't matter. You know what I mean? That's the whole reason why it's in spring training, so that it can throw in some competitive games for these guys to get ramped up for the regular season. I mean, you got to think about it. The World Baseball Classic, Team USA is not paying you $30 million to play baseball this year. Some of these MLB teams are, right? This guy's in line. This is last year. He's in line for a massive, massive contract. So, and Aaron Judge, even they asked him about it. He said, yeah, I get it. The guy's about to get paid $500 million at the end of the season. I know he doesn't want to take any extra chances and possibly mess that up. So I don't blame him at all. Yes, it was a business decision. Is it anti-patriotic? Maybe a little bit, but that just tells you how these MLB players think about this, the World Baseball Classic. How can you change that assessment from the best players in the world? You know, how are you people making those decisions? How can you make this tournament more special, right? That's probably the questions, you know, we don't know the answer to that. That's not our job. Some of these people higher up need to figure out a way to do that, because this is telling you right here, he doesn't value this, right? He's worried about number one, which is him, which it totally makes sense, right? He wants to go back, get in his rhythm, get ready for the season, put together a good year so that he can get paid a disgustingly amount of money at the end of the season. So I don't hold it against him. He still showed up for the team. I don't think, as there's been the talks and whatnot, I don't think there's any ill will towards him here, but obviously it's been a headline and a lot of people are saying, what the hell? But I just don't see it. I don't look at it as a big deal.
So Tomlin's okay with being an anti-patriot, is what it sounds like, Chris, right? We're on the same
page. That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm hearing.
No, it's okay.
The tournament doesn't matter. That right there, you know, why should I get all upset over it when
it doesn't matter to you?
Don't care about it.
As a pitcher can throw one weird pitch and get one weird little kink in their arm, or their shoulder gets a weird little flare up or something like that. So yeah, if the guy's truly going to make that amount of money at the end of the season, he needs to be all in it this season. And it's 162 games. That's their job. Their job is that, like he said, this is an exhibition. Like it's really cool to like watch these dudes be really prideful and representing their country, and seeing the video where they do the check-in thing where the crowd's chanting their names. You see Aaron Judge turn around. It's like, there's a lot of really cool traditions with it, but it's still in like, for me, it's kind of in its infancy state where like people are kind of into it. Like, it's like the World Cup is huge. Like, the World Cup is fucking huge, and you get massive buy-in from these players and stuff that are, you know, making hundreds of millions of dollars for their clubs and stuff that go out there and play with everything they have. So I don't know what they could do for the World Baseball Classic to be more like of an incentivized thing to where, I mean, these, it's hard for the USA. Like, these dudes make so much goddamn money playing. It's not like where you have the dude from Chechnya who's a fucking full-time electrician pitching four shutout innings. Like, it's not like for those dudes, it's huge. You see that video, he's walking around taking it all in. Like, it's a big fucking deal. For these guys, like, yeah, it's exhibition, man. My job is to go pitch in the major leagues. That's where all my credentials, everything, all my accolades, everything that I've worked my entire life for is to be a major league baseball pitcher. And I have a possibility to get generational wealth. Yeah, like, I'm going to do it right. I'm not going to just bounce on my dudes. And, like, I'm going to try to get their buy-in and explain it, like Aaron Judge said. Like, it makes sense when you think about it. But it's are you taking an opportunity from somebody else that could have, you know, done something for us or been on that platform to pitch, you know, on this stage to where they usually don't get, maybe they play for like the Chicago White Sox, who the fuck knows. But yeah, it's like, are you taking the opportunity from somebody else, or are you being selfish by, at the end of the day, you have to be in this league. Like, baseball is a pretty selfish sport, especially at the pitcher position.
You guys are forgetting though, that Tarek Skubal isn't even going to be able to sign a contract next year because they're not going to come to an agreement, and there's going to be an 18-month lockout. So Tarek Skubal is going to have to be living off of Cheerios and water. Should have just played.
I know he's looking forward to that $650 million deferred money from the Los Angeles Dodgers next summer.
Next spring. Wow.
I mean, okay, Tallman's, you make some almost decent points, but I think the whole, these pitchers are just like too goofy with it, man. Like, too superstitious. I think it's like, you hear all these stories of like Corbin Burns. Oh, I can only pitch every 6 days. I have to wake up and do 10 pushups and then run a mile and then wash my balls really good in the shower before I can go out to the gym and start my day. Where then you get to the end of the season and it's like, oh, well, actually I can pitch every third day as long as I'm in the playoffs, and I can go on short rest and I can come in and play two innings. And so they have no problem doing it then. It's only when it comes to representing your country that you have a problem with it. Another good point, Matt, is like, the World Baseball Classic does not have the same prestige as the Soccer World Cup yet. There have been 22 Soccer World Cups, though, compared to, this is now only the sixth World Baseball Classic underway. And I think it's only gotten more steam year over year, I guess every 3 years or 4 years, whatever the time frame is for it. And the noise around this one and this year has been more than it's ever been. And I expect that trend to continue, you know, moving forward. But I think, you know, you guys, if Tarek Skubal was so worried about his contract and he's going to make his $32 million on his 1 year arbitration contract this year, then stay home, bud. You don't need to suit up. We didn't need you for three innings in the World Baseball Classic. That's my point is, we maybe could have had someone else serviceable that could have taken that spot. And yeah, we appreciate the 5 strikeouts he got in 3 innings. Great job, man. Great job. But I think that rounds it out. I mean, I'll open the floor one last time. Anybody else have any late breaking topics they want to cover?
Yeah, and I'll use this as my outro as well. Tolman, the reason that Alec Thomas was in the title is because the kid is balling, bro. I don't care if it's up against AA players from Brazil. He's doing what he needs to on a national stage. Yes. He stunk against US 0-for-4, 3 strikeouts. But overall, and to the start of his spring, guys, he's right on track, I think, to having a stellar season. And you can see here, Mexico manager Benji Gill believes that he will be a perennial all-star and gold glove winner. And that's the only thing we can hope for, man. He's hitting .364, contributing defensively in the 3 games. We talked about how he's 3-for-3 with 3 RBIs and 2 runs in that 16-0 spanking of Brazil. Viva Brazil. But it's been a good start for him. Obviously, the keys have been handed over to him as well. There's still going to be some question marks in regard to what's the juggling going to look like for the Diamondbacks outfield. And then you have to look at what Jordan Lawler has been doing this this spring too. Four home runs, hitting 348. Today hit a rocket off Glasnow. I cannot wait for Diamondbacks baseball to truly be here. But gentlemen, it's always a pleasure. Mr. T Jr., it's great to see you. I'm glad that Mason was on spring break so we could celebrate that hole-in-one once again and hear the hot takes.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that was awesome. Make sure if you're just tuning in now, you go back to the beginning of the stream. There was a nice little present in there for Mr. T Jr. But yeah, man, I guess Mr. T, I'll give you the floor next. We'll save VSP Tallman for second to last. What you got, man? Anything for the people as we head out here?
Oh, get ready for the breaking news. Kyler Murray signing with the Vikings tomorrow. I feel that's an inevitable. Not much, man. I'm watching this World Baseball Classic game, and I feel like the ump got a concussion because he's calling some pretty shitty strikes and balls, dude. Some really bad calls. But no, man, it's fun. Like I was saying, I didn't feel the greatest today. Mike texted me. I was like, I got to fucking jump on. Like, I'm always busy Tuesdays. So, and I'm happy I did. I got to see my boy Bob. Bobo. Yeah, dude, you got to send me that. That's one of the cooler fucking things I've ever seen. But no, I'm excited, optimistically excited for next season for Cardinals football. Also, we'll see what we do in the draft, man. I think what we do in the draft will really, really tell us what this organization is thinking in this next season and beyond. But yeah, as always, boys, it's a blast. I enjoy it every time.
Always a pleasure, never a chore, Mr. T. I'm going to pump the brakes on my excitement for next Cardinals season. I'm interested, but going to see what they do over the next month and a half or so and the draft. And then I'll assess if I'm excited or not. But VSB Tallman, save the best for last, brother. What you got?
Oh, I appreciate you. I will have to say, Matt, the cameo from the cameo god, that was all Mike. That was all Mike, Mr. Partell.
That's so wild, dude.
Good work. That was better than I thought. I mean, there's a reason why he's like one of the top dudes on Cameo. I mean, he's just, like I said, he's the god, the Cameo god. But that was incredible. I love, Mike, I love what you're saying about the baseball stuff. I love you trying to you know, build up Alec Thomas here because we need a good season from Alec Thomas. And I think it's going to happen too. It doesn't matter if he's falling out of the strike zone and he's swinging against Team USA yesterday. Maybe he won't do that in the regular season, but man, what are we 2 weeks away? We're like four from opening day, right? Oh, dude, we're
2 weeks.
I'm 5 days away from D-backs TV auto renewing, which is crazy that they just automatically renew it and not even tell you.
How
but
much
hey,
do they charge you for that?
It's $99.99 and you get, it includes blackouts, right? So you get to see every game unless it's on. No, I take that back.
Even Apple TV games?
No.
Right.
No. So there's a couple scenarios where no, you can't watch it. So it does not include blackouts, but hey, you get to see every single game. So it's definitely worth it.
Tallman, you sneeze away $100 at a casino slot machine, so I don't want to hear your boo-hoos and your wah-wahs. Just let it redo. You're going to watch
I am, all the time anyway. I didn't change it. I didn't change it. I wasn't wah-wahing about it.
I'm just giving you crap. But this is – I just remembered this, Chris. I'm sorry. I have to jump in one more time here. So, gentlemen, the current odds for the NFC West winners right now, Rams plus 145, Seahawks plus 165, 49ers plus 250. The Cardinals are plus 7,500. The Dolphins, the Raiders, the Browns, and the Jets are all at plus 20,000 for Super Bowl winner odds. The Arizona Cardinals are at plus 30,000. Tallman, this is your one.
It should be higher.
This honestly is your one opportunity. I have not bought the Joshua Sweat jersey yet. To spare you the pain of having to put on anything for that team, do you want a different type of jersey? Do you want a Diamondbacks jersey? Do you want one of the new Serpientes ones? This is my one and only offer. The Cardinals have put me into this situation where I would never have thought about this, but okay, for okay. All, your
the
sake.
Serpientes are sick.
For
that is
they really they don't crazy. Here's it. We talked about speaking with your dollar. I don't think they deserve my money to buy a jersey.
That's so right.
I would love to get a Diamondbacks, even like an old school, whatever you want, bud. You just let me know.
That's not fair.
You have 5 minutes to decide, and you can tell me after the stream.
Okay, I'll tell you after. But you had to take the Arizona Cardinals jersey. Well, I got you. Didn't you get a Harrison jersey?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Which now I feel bad getting. I mean, you chose it, obviously. Right. But
that was
I'm sure that was
the inception of the bet. So
yes,
it was. We're not thinking about it anymore. Right. But okay, I want to give you that option. T-minus 4 minutes and 30 seconds.
You're throwing me a curveball. Okay.
That's all I got. Take us home.
I love it, Mike. It was a jersey bet. We can go back and watch the tape. I don't know if it was specified football jersey. That is a generous offer, though. I highly encourage VSP Tallman to take him up on that. And you guys, we're talking about baseball. I'm excited about baseball. 2 weeks away, Diamondbacks are going to be competitive this year. But we also got to get it on the calendar. The second annual 999 challenge. We live streamed it last year in early May. We were all on Tallman's couch. I came up just short while Mike was an overachiever and I think had 10 in 9 innings, 10 beers, 10 hot dogs in 9 innings. Very impressive. I think I was at 7.5 hot dogs and 7 beers in 9 minutes.
I hit
six and six. VSP Tallman also, he went 999, right? I think you completed the challenge.
I went 9, 18, 9.
Yeah, I had a lot of beers. It might have been like 6, yeah. 12.
We all overachieved on the
beer. I'm going for 11 this year.
Hell yeah. I learned from last season and the mistakes that I made during that attempt. And we'll have plenty of time to talk about it more, so I won't dive into it. But really looking forward to that. I think we should do it around the same time, probably early May sometime, and it'll be a good time. So be on the lookout for that. More news to come. This coming Saturday, we're getting together to record the March episode of the Heat Check podcast in-person recording as a pre-recorded podcast video that goes up right here on YouTube. Expect that sometime towards the end of next week. And we'll be back here live on Tuesday around 7 p.m. for your viewing enjoyment. Mike, is it the March Madness preview next week?
The bracket is here. We will be breaking it down with the one, the only Stephen Miller. I can't wait. I cannot wait, man. It's one of the best times of the year.
So exciting. Best time for basketball. Great time for sports. There's a lot going on, plenty to talk about. So make sure you follow us right here on our YouTube page and you're subscribed to our channel. Hit that notification bell so you can know when we're going live, when new content is posted, and so much more. Also, hit up our links in the description below, and that's going to be @AZ_VSP on Instagram, X, TikTok, and so much more. But for Mr. Benjamin, Mr. T Jr., and VSP Tallman, I'm Chris Patrick, and we'll see you next time.
Peace.
Things up here, and for one last time, this is Al McCoy saying thanks for being there, thanks for being with us tonight, and from the Footprint Center here in downtown Phoenix, we'll just say so long for now.